Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in just a few minutes is Stephen Kolesheski. And today we're going to be talking about an amazing program about abortion and a former abortionist, Dr. David Levantino, who committed over 1,200 abortions and has now stopped. This program is definitely parental guidance suggested, because we're going to dedicate this entire program to exposing and showing what truly happens when a woman has an abortion. And I'm thankful for the organization. They're called Live Action Organization. It's a pro-life organization, and the founder is Lila Rose, because they put together these medical animation videos that show exactly what happens in all different type of abortions, starting from the first trimester to the second trimester, even abortions done in the third trimester. And you're going to hear from Dr. Levantino and what happened in his life that caused him, after performing 1,200 abortions, to say that I cannot do this anymore. It really is a remarkable story, and one that gives us hope to believe that, listen, the tide is turning, and that if you've been watching this program, we close out our program in prayer. We've been praying for quite some time now. Dear God, end abortion and send revival. You know, since 1973, in the landmark Supreme Court decision in Roe versus Wade, that decision for over 40 years determined that the killing, the aborting of a baby, was actually legal. Records and statistics indicate that at least 50 million children have now died as a result of abortions. And now with the new abortion pill, that number is increasing all the time. In fact, we can't really truly know, because we don't know how many of these women are actually taking this pill, which you're going to see a video that actually highlights what actually happens when they ingest this pill into their body. But this is important that we begin to shed light on this, because listen, the blood still cries out, innocent blood still cries out to God, and we need to repent for it, but we can't repent of the things that we're truly not aware of. And our hopes today is that you're going to be educated, you're going to be informed, and you're going to be inspired and motivated to take action, whether that be prayer or a number of different areas. But I want you to first listen to and watch Dr. Levantino as he actually begins to share what happened in his life and his journey that caused him to say, you know, I can't do this anymore. It was a progressive thing, but finally he said, listen, I can't do it anymore. Watch this.
So can you share more? You've adopted Heather, and the events that led to that transformation where you ultimately completely rejected abortion. What was it that really changed your perspective?
I was doing abortions on a regular basis in my practice, and everything was just, you know, the kids are growing and I'm starting to make some money finally, and everything was just wonderful as far as I was concerned until June 23rd of 1984. June 23rd, 1984 was an absolutely beautiful day in Albany. Heather was exactly 2 months away from her sixth birthday. We took the kids to an amusement park that day, came home, we had dinner together, and the kids were playing in the backyard when we had friends arrive for cake and coffee. We were talking with those friends when at 7:25 that night we heard the screech of brakes out in front of our house. The kids had wandered into the road and Heather had been hit by a car. She was a mess. You know, I'm a doctor. I'm supposed to be able to save people's lives. My wife was an intensive care nurse at the time. This is what we did for a living. This was routine to us. But it made absolutely no difference, and she literally died in our arms in the back of an ambulance that night. You know, people who are listening who have children may think they have some idea of what that feels like. I guarantee you, if you haven't been through that yourself, you have no idea what it feels like. I pray you never find out. But what do you do after a disaster? You know, you bury your child and take some time off, and then you try to get back into your life. And I don't remember exactly how long it was after Heather died that I did my first D&E abortion, but I showed up at OR number 9 at Albany Medical Center just like I had over 100 times before. I wasn't thinking of this as anything special. This was routine to me, and I obviously had other things on my mind. And I started that abortion and put in what's called a sofa clamp and literally ripped out a baby's arm or leg that big, and I just stared at it in the clamp. I got sick. I mean, I literally got sick. But when you start an abortion, you can't stop. When you do a D&E abortion, you have to keep inventory. You have to make sure you get two arms and two legs and all the pieces. Because if you don't, your patient's going to come back infected, bleeding, or dead. So I finished that abortion. I soldiered on and got it done. But I looked. I really, for the first time in my career, really looked at that pile of baby parts sitting on a table. And I didn't see all those things that had sustained me all those years. I didn't see what a wonderful doctor I was helping her with her problem, and I didn't see her wonderful right to choose, and I didn't even see the $800 cash I just made in 15 minutes. All I could see was somebody's son or daughter. And suddenly this was looking really different to me. For the first time in my life, it hit me very powerfully that this woman had come to me, figuratively, not literally, no woman ever literally says this, but figuratively she came to me and said, here's $800, kill my baby. And I was the kind of person that would look right back at her perfectly calmly and say, why, sure, I'll do that.
After having that encounter and seeing that child and seeing it as a child, what was the process like to stop advertising for abortion?
Well, I didn't stop right away. I did a couple more, but these were just, I mean, I knew why I felt bad. I will get over this, but I didn't. A change had come that I couldn't take back.
So you tried to do a couple more to see maybe I can get over this, but you couldn't.
Exactly. So I went to my partners, and I announced that I would no longer do second trimester D&E abortions. They were just too difficult. And there were just two of us in the group that were doing them, so, and this dumped the entire load on the other partner. But they knew what was going on. They understood. And I told them I would only do the little ones, the first trimester suction D&C abortions we were doing in the office. And for a couple more months, I soldiered on doing those. But a change, as I said earlier, had come that I couldn't take back. When you finally figure out here, that killing a baby that big for money is wrong, that it doesn't take you too long to figure out it doesn't matter if the baby is this big or this big or this big or maybe even this big, it's all the same. And I'm ashamed to say it, but it was February of 1985, it was that late after Heather's death, that I went to my partners a second time and said, I will no longer do any more abortions. And I haven't done any since then, and I never will.
What an amazing realization. My goodness, our prayer is that every abortionist will have this type of encounter and they will awaken to the reality of what they're doing. I believe that's one of the reasons why the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. If abortions were free and they weren't making any money, they probably wouldn't even touch him. But the fact that this man was making $800 in 15 minutes probably was a great motivation. But he woke up and he said, I can't do it anymore. We're talking about Dr. Leventino, former abortionist, mm-hmm. Steve, who conducted 1,200 mm-hmm. abortions and has finally stopped. He had an awakening experience where he said, I can't do this anymore. It made him sick to his stomach. And we're going to be watching some more of his life as it unfolded and some of the things that happened. But there are a lot of people now that have been activated and standing for life. They've been activated mm-hmm. and standing for truth. And they're doing many different things to say, listen, I need to partner with God and say, I can't be a part. I can't remain silent. I can't stand on the sidelines, Steve.
We have to do something.
I got to get in the game.
Absolutely.
I got to do something. And so there are a lot of things you can do. The first thing you can do, the most important thing you can do, the chief thing is what? Always pray. Mm. And we want to pray with the heart of God. That's what intercession is. Intercession is standing in the gap. And we're not praying our will, we're praying the burden of God. God touches us with his burden, what he's feeling, what he's experiencing, and we pray that out and back to God as it becomes this full circle mm-hmm. experience and encounter. But we want to pray, stand in the gap, that these abortions will come to an end. They will stop. and for God to forgive us of all the innocent shedding of blood.
Yeah.
And so that's the most important thing. But then there's other ways you can get involved. You know, you can get educated and informed. And that's what we're doing here today with VFN TV. You know, we want to educate you the best. We're learning out loud, and we want to inform you so that you can, what, help inform others. And so one of the ways you can do that is through VFN TV and The Torch and Facebook and all of our different ways that we reach out to our audience. You can begin to spread and share this message with other people so that they can be informed and do the same. But then also there are ways that people take action, because once you've been praying, you've been educating and informing yourself, a natural progression is that people begin to get in the game more, and they begin to take action, and some get involved in counseling young girls and women. There's different organizations you can participate in. Some get activated in passing legislation and laws that are right now on the books, and we've seen a wave happen in the last couple of years that have given more restriction to abortions, and they're state by state. Mm-hmm. Some states are more liberal than others, but we're believing that it's turning.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's turning.
Yeah, and understanding that much more is like when, as you've heard us talk many times before in regards to voting, you understand it's just like when you're voting, you know, vote biblical values. When you understand how a specific candidate, what they believe, what they don't believe, you can understand if you're saying yes, what you're saying yes to.
Yeah, it's so, so important. But the other thing that people do is they sometimes picket and they, you know, get outside of abortion clinics. And I want you to hear from a former abortionist of what he thought was the most very impactful thing that one can do. Those in particular that are standing for life. I want you to watch Dr. Levantino as he shares this wisdom in this encounter. Watch this.
Did you ever come across pro-lifers, and what was your perspective on pro-lifers?
People always ask that. Now, understand, as I tell people, I was not running an abortion clinic. I was running a regular OBGYN office like most women have gone to. We did deliveries, we did hysterectomies. Abortion certainly was a part of our practice. And it was during those 3 years before I stopped doing abortions in that private practice that I arrived at my office one day, and there were picketers surrounding our building, praying, holding their signs. They didn't have our names on the signs, but we knew they were there for us. And people frequently ask me, what are you thinking when we're outside picketing? And I would tell them what we were thinking, what you're thinking when you're in that situation. It gave us a siege mentality. It was us against those kooks outside.
Mm. And when you saw folks outside, where did you get the stereotype that they were kooks?
Everybody in the pro-abortion, you know, every abortionist knows that everyone, you know, involved in the pro-life movement is a kook. And CNN tells me so. They would never lie to me.
Do you remember any of kind of exchanges that you had with pro-life advocates?
Oh, I remember very vividly an exchange, but it didn't happen quite the way you might imagine. It was during that time when a woman came to me as a new patient. Her name was Susan. Didn't even come up to my shoulders. Came in for a routine OBGYN appointment, you know, OBGYN annual exam and a pap smear. Did her exam, and then at the end of the exam, she looked at me and said, can I talk to you? Now, doctors know that many patients, I think especially women, won't really tell you what's on their mind until they've established some level of trust. Mm. And so it wasn't all that unusual that she did that. So I sat down in my office and looked at her and professionally looked at her and said, ma'am, how can I help you? And she absolutely blew me away when she said, I've been sent here to give you a message that Jesus loves you. He cares about you. This is not what he had intended for your life, to be an abortionist. Please stop. Now, I had one overwhelming thought when she said that, and that was, I've got to hustle this kook out of my office as fast as I could, and I did. A year later, she showed up for her routine annual exam and pap smear. And when the exam was over, she said, can I talk to you? And I went, oh, no. You know, understand, it's not like I never darkened the inside of a church before, but people who were really demonstrative mm-hmm. about their faith really made me uncomfortable. And she basically said the same message, more or less, I've been sent here to give you a message that Jesus loves you. He cares about you. This is not what he intended for your life to be an abortionist. Please stop. Now, believe me, I remembered what she had said the year before. But in the intervening year between those two visits, I received at least three personal greeting cards sent to the office to me, marked confidential, with the message written on the card. One time during that intervening year, I arrived in my office and there was a plate of brownies sitting on my desk with the message tied to the brownies. You know, it's funny, I wouldn't have put a name or a title to what was going on, but Joe Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League, who's written several books, calls that adopting an abortionist. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this woman did. Now, it's really interesting. It was not till much later that I realized, that I found out, that she was one of the people picketing my office. You know, and I have a message for people, especially for women. You know, oh, Dr. X does abortions. I would never go to him. Well, you know, you're never going to change somebody's mind by, you can pick it all you want. You may or may not change somebody's mind that way, but I will suggest to you that most of the time you won't. And you can yell at someone and scream at them, but I can absolutely tell you, you will not convince their mind about anything that way. Mm-hmm. If you're going to convince somebody that maybe the path they're walking is wrong, you need a relationship with that person of some sort to be able to start that dialogue. This lady was very clever. She became a patient. Believe me, doctors listen to their patients.
It's amazing. And definitely a message to women who are pro-life that maybe that doctor that is performing abortions is one to go talk to.
Exactly.
What an amazing approach. I mean, who would have thought that? But look at the implication. Look what happened just by putting yourself in a place, in a position where you can build that relationship. And it's called earning the right to be able to speak into someone's life. A lot of times people don't want to be spoken to. They want relationship. Mm-hmm. They want to invite you into being able to say something. And what an amazing effect, a profound effect, because the man who performed 1,200 of these abortions, of these murders, has finally stopped.
Yeah. And think about this, too, in that process that she saw him as a person and went to him and being obedient to minister to him. Look at the effects that we're talking about now and imagine how many lives have been saved because of one woman's obedience. And imagine, like you said, if we would target our prayers and just like you're saying, adopt an abortionist.
I think a lot of times in the Christian community, we get a mindset that people that do evil things, we disassociate the fact that the devil is evil, right? And people are sometimes obviously taken over by evil, but God wants to save them too.
That's right.
And so he wants to save ISIS. He wants to save abortionists. And he's going to save them. He wants to use us to do it. And so we have to find a way to be able to relate and talk and communicate in a way that God can anoint to penetrate the heart of that person. Because we don't change a person from the outside, right? God changes a person from the inside out. And we can do that when we just follow his wisdom. But I want to go quickly to one of these amazing medical animations that Live Action put together. That was the founder, Lila Rose. And she's done a phenomenal job. Reminds me of Center for Medical Progress, David DeLeiden, and the work that he has done, which has been absolutely amazing. But you're seeing a momentum taking place. Well, this particular medical animation, because you hear about the abortion pill, and many people don't know exactly how this pill works or what it does, but you're literally ingesting a chemical. We talked in a previous program about, you know, chemical warfare that's been potentially, you know, that could be used against the United States. Well, we're realizing that chemical warfare has already taken place. A radical violence that is done to a preborn child. But when you're ingesting this pill, woman ingests this pill who is pregnant, it literally does something physical to her body that literally winds up killing the baby on the inside. I want you to watch this as you get informed, because you know we've been saying there's 50 plus million abortions. The plus is, it's this abortion pill. We have no idea. And it's being marketed in such a way, oh, just take the pill. You're not, you know, not really getting an abortion. Just take, you know, you're killing the baby. Watch this.
My name is Dr. Anthony Levitino. I'm a practicing obstetrician-gynecologist, and I performed over 1,200 abortions. Today I'm going to describe a first trimester medical abortion. This is a procedure in which the mother swallows pills in order to terminate her baby, and it is performed up to the 9th week of pregnancy. The procedure involves two steps. Step 1. At the abortion clinic or doctor's office, the woman takes pills which contain mifepristone, also called RU46. RU46 blocks the action of a hormone called progesterone. Progesterone is naturally produced in the mother's body to stabilize the lining of the uterus. When RU46 blocks progesterone, the lining of the mother's uterus breaks down, cutting off blood and nourishment to the baby, who then dies inside the mother's womb. It is important to note that even after it has been taken, it is possible to reverse the effects of RU46 and save the baby if progesterone is administered. The sooner, the better. Step 2. 24 to 48 hours after taking RU46, the woman takes misoprostol, also called Cytotec, that is administered either orally or vaginally. RU46 and misoprostol together cause severe cramping, contractions, and often heavy bleeding to force the dead baby out of the woman's uterus. The process can be very intense and painful, and the bleeding and contractions can last from a few hours to several days. While she could lose her baby anytime and anywhere during this process, the woman will often sit on a toilet as she prepares to expel the child, which she will then flush. She may even see her dead baby within the pregnancy sac. At 9 weeks, for example, the baby will be almost an inch long, and if she looks carefully, she might be able to count the fingers and toes. After she has disposed of her baby, the woman may have bleeding and spotting for several weeks. Bleeding lasts, on average, 9 to 16 days. 8% of women bleed more than 30 days, and 1% require hospitalization because of heavy bleeding. RU46 is only FDA approved for the first 7 weeks of pregnancy. While RU46 can be used off-label up to 9 weeks, the failure rate increases as the pregnancy progresses. At 7 weeks, it has a 5% failure rate. At 8 weeks, an 8% failure rate, and at 9 weeks, a 10% failure rate. If failure occurs, she will usually be offered a surgical abortion. For the mother, medical abortion often causes abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, headache, and heavy bleeding. Maternal deaths have occurred, most frequently due to infection and undiagnosed ectopic pregnancy. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm Dr. Anthony Levitino, and in the early part of my career as an OBGYN, I performed over 1,200 abortions. One day, after completing one of those abortions, I looked at the remains of a preborn child whose life I had ended, and all I could see was someone's son or daughter. I came to realize that killing a baby at any stage of pregnancy for any reason is wrong. I want you to know today, no matter where you're at or what you've done, you can change. Make a decision today to protect the preborn. Thank you for your time.
This is horrific. This is horrific, and we're praying along with you that abortion ends, that we, that dear God, end abortion.
Yes. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.